Voices of Wisdom Bible Church, the church of a distinct Christian generation.
God's management principles. And as the Lord will be helping us today, we are going to look at developing the keeper's spirit. And so, it's my joy, great joy in the Holy Ghost, to welcome you again to the School of Applied Scriptures. The School of Applied Scriptures. The leaders' breakfast, as you all know very well, is inspired by the need to close the gap between the biblical knowledge that is available to church people and, of course, the near zero application of it in their day-to-day living. What am I saying? I want you to again reawake yourself to the very foundational purpose for this segment of this ministry, that there is a clear gap between the biblical knowledge that is readily available to us as church people and, of course, the application of it in our day-to-day living. For some believers, it's almost zero when you measure the amount of the word of God they have access to and the one they apply. And so, for this reason, in addition to the eternal value of the word of God for the salvation of our souls, the universal application of God's word to practically all issues of life is here being emphasized in this segment of the Ministry of Voices of Wisdom Bible Church. And that informs the series of topics that we daily emphasize that appear to be very uncommon and are well connected to our day-to-day living. So, always bear in mind again that the ultimate intent of the totality of the ministry of the Word of God, as I always emphasize, is to make us perfect unto all good works. The ultimate intent, the ultimate purpose, the ultimate objective of the totality of the ministry of the Word of God is to make us perfect unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Say, I am that man of God. Say, I am that woman of God. Say, I am that daughter of God. I am that son of God who will be made perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works through the ministry of the word of God. And so, for this reason, 8 weeks ago, we set out to study God's management principles. And of course, in addition to emphasis on our life and destiny in general, we listed a few things as our focus of study, where God's management principles can be applied. We listed men, money, material, potential, and time as other key areas beside our life in general and our destiny, of course. We listed those other key areas as areas to which God's management principles are applicable and will be discussed. Of course, we have discussed extensively on men and money. Today, we will study further and we will start to examine how God's management principles are applicable to keeping material resources. Keeping material resources. Man, by the mandate of his creation, because when God created man, he did not create him without giving him a purpose. So when he created man, from onset, we can see that God allocated function. He allocated assignment to man right from beginning. In fact, even before he created him, he spoke about what the man will do. Are we together? So God cast vision for the man that he will create. So by that mandate of man's creation, man is supposed to be a keeper by nature. Please understand that. Please underscore that. Please imbibe that. Please take that to heart. In case you have not been walking in that consciousness, you should from now begin to walk in that consciousness that by virtue of the mandate of your creation, you are supposed to be a keeper. Say, I am a keeper. So, and of course, when you move back into history, history recorded that the earliest men were gatherers. If you study a bit of agriculture, okay, and you look at how man came about planting and harvesting crop, man started as gatherers. And later they became cultivators. And of course, they moved from there to become inventors. All this from record of history is pointing to the fact that man is by instinct wired to manage things. Man is wired to do what? To manage things. So, if you see a man that has lost the instincts to gather, it is an issue of, it should be an issue of psycho-spiritual concern. I come again. It's an issue of psycho-spiritual concern whenever a man lost the instinct to gather and he starts to scatter. So every man that is mentally balanced will possess management instinct. If you are properly, if you are mentally balanced and you are properly brought up, you are properly raised, you will naturally have that instinct to gather things, to keep things, to manage things. So, when you therefore find a man that has lost the instinct to gather and he starts to scatter things, it's an issue of psycho-spiritual concern. Why? A mentally balanced man will observe rules of hygiene to keep himself in a good state of health. Are we following my line of argument? A mentally balanced man will observe rules of hygiene to keep his environment clean. A mentally balanced man will dress well to look presentable, among other things. So, but by the time a man will dress and will not button up, there's a problem. By the time a man will dress, okay, and he will allow his belt to be loose, there's a problem. Worse of it, by the time a man will get hold of his clothes by himself and tear it, there's a problem. By the time a woman will get into her house and begin to bring her household equipment to the open space instead of arranging them in the room, there's what? A problem. of good dressing sense is a clear sign of need for medical attention from mental health experts. You can tell the state of a man's health by the way he dresses. Are we together? So let's quickly check our concept of material world, because we are looking at applying God's management principle to the keeping of our material resources. Materials are the tangible resources that constitute our environment, and they are very useful to undertake our daily activities, very useful to fulfilling destiny. When you have them, they hate fulfillment. When you lack them, they can be the reason for your failure. My prayer for you in the name of Jesus, that this our God that gives power to make wealth, this our God, the Father of all good things, will bless you with all that your destiny requires to become a fulfilled man, to become a fulfilled woman, in the name of Jesus. So the presence of these material resources can aid destiny fulfillment, and their absence certainly can be easily implicated in failure. They are useful for business vocation. Of course, they are also useful for luxury. Spiritually too, they are equally available for worship and ministry. I am holding a voice amplifier. It's a material resource. Praise the name of the Lord. And it's being used for ministry. When you check the Old Testament, you will find definite instructions on how to hallow the temple and the item of worship in the temple. The Levites in particular, in addition to singing of psalms, teaching of the Torah, they have the official responsibility of performing construction and maintenance for the temple, including serving as guards for the temple. That goes to say that when we discuss issue of maintenance and keeping of material resources, it also adds spiritual usefulness. Am I talking to somebody? So the Levites, beside singing of psalms and some other definite spiritual assignment like teaching of Torah, primarily too, they are supposed to be in charge of construction of the temple and taking custody of the various items of worship in the temple, and to keep them hallowed and sanctified, make them to be in a position whereby they are not used for the common regular use. If it's a cup, okay, for the table, okay, as we eventually now have it in the New Testament, a cup for serving communion, the pastor will not just take it to his house and be using it for his breakfast and then lunch. And it has to be respected. It has to be hallowed. It has to be properly kept. Are we together? But in today's church, the same instrument for praising God in the church is still being used for singing all manner of song at social engagement. No difference. Today, church buildings are losing their sacredness. They are being hired out for commercial purpose, rather than separate between the holy and unholy. Modern church construction are planned for multi-purpose use, for commercial reason. Spiritual reason on Sunday, commercial reason on Monday. Oh, on Saturday, terrible social engagements. No wonder the government is under pressure to tax churches. Are you beginning to see the reason why it's important to bring this point up for apostolic discussion on the pulpit? it is true that offering and tithes may not suffice to meet ministry need of a dynamic church, there should be a clear difference between the structure for worship and the one built for multipurpose use. And in addition to that, I want to advocate very seriously that the ministry of sanctuary keepers, you know, we have people that we can categorize their ministry as sanctuary keepers in the church, including ushers, security, and those who perform janitorial duty. Their ministry should not be viewed as mere casual works. Church workers of that category should be trained to understand the spiritual dimension of the great work they are doing for the Lord. They should be trained to understand that they should be spirit-filled, as Bezalel and his men were filled with the Holy Spirit under the ministry of Moses. Somebody will want to say, what is the big deal? Okay? In coming to be part of those who claim the church. It's just an ordinary task. It's not an ordinary task. It's a spiritual task. Are we together? What's the big deal in serving as an usher in church? Listen, it's beyond just getting people to sit down properly in the presence of God. It's a heavy duty spiritual task. Praise the name of the Lord. In Acts of Apostles chapter 6, to serve table, to distribute charity, the Bible recommended that those who should occupy that office, when the first set of deacons who had been appointed, seven of them, the Bible requested that those who occupy that office must be people filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Praise the name of the Lord. Somebody want to say, what is big deal in sharing charity among widows? And yet, to qualify, to occupy that office, one of the demands is that people who will handle it should be filled with the Holy Spirit. So there is no any single assignment in church that does not require the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So, sanctuary keeper, usher, security, those who perform other janitorial duties that fall under sanctuary keeping should not feel their ministry as casual works. You should understand the spiritual dimension of your great work. You should be spirit-filled as Bezalel and his men were filled with the Holy Spirit under the ministry of Moses. Let's check Exodus 31, the first 11 verses. Exodus 31, the first 11 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Then, one will be expecting to do what? Maybe to preach. Maybe to heal the sick. Maybe to raise the dead. Maybe to go to the interland for mission work. But it was not any of these quote and unquote jim. As you will classify it among the youths. Okay? Jim. Spiritual work. Verse 4. To devise cunning works. To work in gold and in silver and in brass. And in cutting of stone to set them. And in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. So, to do technical work in church. God said, I have called. So you can be called to perform technical duty in church. Are you with me? And so, when you are called into that kind of office, you don't just bring in only your professional expertise, your professional skill. If that professional skill will be used to serve God, then you also again must complement with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is then it will be anointed and will be able to deliver a spiritually profitable result. Am I talking to somebody? Verse 6. And behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the heart of all that are wise hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furnitures of the table, and the table and its furniture, and the pure candlestick with all its furniture, and all the altars of incense. All these things I am mentioning, they are all material things. They are all material resources being used in the temple. And the altar of burnt offering with all its furniture, and the laver and its food, and the cloth of service, and the holy garment for Aaron the priest, and the garment of his son to minister in the priest's office. So the cashock that the man of God will wear, the tailors that will design it, were those filled with the Holy Spirit. We take so many things, okay, for casual, which are actually not casual, but they are spiritual. And the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. So, to the work of ministry, to church, these are the things that I classify as material resources under the custody of certain people to manage. And because man, by his creation and the mandate of God upon man, is supposed to be a keeper, when those things are put in your custody, they should serve their purpose efficiently, because the grace of God is upon you to keep them. But do you know that there are people that if you put anything in their custody, that thing will get damaged? If it's an issue of deliverance, receive deliverance in the name of Jesus. Now, material resources mean different things to different people. And so let us attempt to bring everybody under the bracket of what we are talking about. For children, school bag, lunch box. For young lady, of course, they will think about their wardrobe and their body care kits. For academics, they will think about their library and books. Naturally, for mothers, they will think about their kitchen, of course, their wardrobe. For father, their workshop and the workshop tools will be on their mind, maybe their vehicle too. So whatever element of nature are useful to us in destiny fulfillment are here included as material resources. So, like I mentioned earlier, some of them are instruments, some are assets. Some could turn out as liability if we fail to learn the right process and the appropriate time to acquire them. So, you need the wisdom of God, as it was spelled out concerning Bezalel and his colleagues, that God gave them the Holy Spirit. He also blessed them with wisdom. And so the first wisdom you need in relationship to asset management is to differentiate necessity for good living from what you want for luxury. The first wisdom you need in relationship to asset management is to differentiate necessity for good living from what you want for luxury. So it is foolishness to put luxury ahead of career and vocation. Outright foolishness for you to put luxury ahead of career and vocation. Most people that have problem, actually their problem is not lack of access to assets, but absence of management know-how. Is somebody hearing me? Most people's problem is not lack of access to assets, but absence of management know-how. So, effective management of resources is a function of wisdom. And so, when God was commissioning Bezalel to undertake the management of the tabernacle, he gave him the Holy Spirit, and he also blessed him with wisdom. So my counsel to you in this regard is that you should give priority attention to gaining wisdom, so that when wealth and resources come, it will not be wasted. Hello? A man that is barren of wisdom, blessing may eventually turn out as a curse for him, because he may use the blessing to inflict injury on himself. He may use the blessing to damage his destiny. Are we together? So give priority attention to gaining wisdom, so that whenever wealth come, it will not be wasted. So management problem that some people have can stem out of the following negative personality traits. Why do people have management problem, especially managing their resources? And what's supposed to be a blessing to them eventually become the instrument by which they inflict injury to themselves. In fact, there are people that will have made heaven easily, but for the wealth that God gave them to bless them, which they mismanage. I pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, nisori re de ronu apadi. So, management problem can stem out of the following negative personality trait. One, where you have zero or low self-motivation. Where you have zero or low self-motivation. Which I call absence of self-leadership capacity. Self-leadership capacity. So, it's a situation or an atmosphere whereby you rarely lift your finger to do anything by yourself. You want everything to be done for you. By chronological age, some people have grown up. Okay? But by practical reality of maturity, they are still babes. No self-motivation to do anything by themselves. They are of age. Okay? If you don't remind them, have you not brushed today? They won't remember that they are yet to take care of their bodily hygiene. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Okay? If on the fourth day you didn't remind them, have you bathed? Okay? They can still continue like that. Number two negative trait, disinterestedness. Disinterestedness. Nothing in your environment interests you. So whether those things are going well or they are not going well, you are not concerned. So you are just disinterested. Whatever has happened to you and has suddenly make you to get disinterested in life, may the Lord intervene in the name of Jesus. Tardiness, which is the habit of always being late. Tardiness. the habit of always being late. People who have that personality trait, okay, what they are supposed to quickly correct, okay, I will do it. So one of that has said with it is procrastination. I will do it until the whole thing is messed up and it can no longer be rescued. Then, lastly, there could be more. Self-centeredness. What do I call it? Self-centeredness. Which is the spirit of not caring for what does not belong to you personally. I remember I once told you the story of when we were graduating from the secondary school many years ago. On the day we wrote our final paper, the school where I graduated from used to be a very big school with many hostels. Eventually, that school was turned to a college of education. So, most of the hostel building during our tenure were not in use. So, they were lying idle in the bush. Okay? They were not being properly taken care of. So, the last day we wrote our last paper, okay, and we are rejoicing and celebrating. As we're going, one of my colleagues, today is a big man, working in the University of Ilorin. He picked a stone. And then, like somebody who want to kill a terrible animal. And lo and behold, he threw the stone and it landed on the louvers of one of the hostel building. And everything, and I asked, why did you do this? He said, I am spending my caution fee. You know, in those days when you get admitted to school, after paying your school fees, then they also ask us to pay what they call caution fee. And what they told us is that when by the time we are graduating, if we don't spoil anything, any property of the school, okay, our caution fee will be paid back to us. But you know the Nigerian system, the school will never talk about it again. And so the young man said, all his time in the school, he didn't spoil anything. And so since he knows that they would not give him back his caution fee, he must spoil something. You can see the Nigerian mentality. May God deliver us in the name of Jesus. Those who collected caution fee and they don't give back, they are not doing well. The person that is destroying public utility is also not doing well. What will bring about that? The spirit of not caring for what does not belong to one personally. We find Cain in the Bible, who was the first person that exhibited the worst form of the spirit of self-centeredness. God asked him, God asked after his brother from him, his brother Abel. You know how he answered God? Am I my brother's keeper? So you find a missing item and you trample on it because it's not your own. Genesis 4, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? You find an item wrongly placed where it ought not to be placed, and you just walk by. And they say, don't you see that thing? I'm not the one that put it there. Cain failed to realize that man was created to be a keeper and not a killer. If you don't develop the spirit of a keeper, nothing that is kept in your custody will appreciate. It will depreciate and eventually die. Say, I am a keeper. I am not a killer. Whatever is put in my custody will appreciate and not depreciate. Whatever is kept in my custody will not die. Secondly, anybody who is not a keeper will end up as a tiller. Number one, if you don't have the spirit of a keeper, you end up as a killer. You kill whatever is put in your custody. Because of the attitude of, it's not my own. The spirit of Ogata, Ogauta, Owo Alaru, Yosekini, Yokwe, is the reason an employee will be put in charge of an annex office. And at the end of the day, you will have to close shop because you cannot manage it well. The other thing is that whosoever is not a keeper will end up as a tiller. Adam mismanaged his office of a keeper of the garden. What became of him? He became a tiller of the soil. An assignment that I consider more difficult than that of a keeper. Let us compare Genesis 2:15 and Genesis 3, verses 17 to 19. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden. To do what? To dress it and to keep it. So, God, by the divine mandate from the beginning, made man a keeper. Are we together? He made man what? A keeper. Then, in Genesis 3, verse 17 to 19, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. The first assignment is just to keep, is just to dress. But now that he has transgressed, the assignment has moved from keeping and dressing to tilling and toiling. Thorn also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. This again happened to the prodigal son. When he was in good time with his father, before he bolted away to waste and to scatter his fortune, what happened to him? He ended up hiring himself to take care of pigs. And of course, the story of the prodigal son typifies the way a caring parent will plan a good fortune for his children. But some of them will still end up as school dropouts because they associate themselves with the wrong company in school. So anybody who fails to keep will subject himself to needless suffering. Adam subjected himself to needless suffering from dressing and keeping to toiling. The prodigal son, from managing his father's estate, okay, he had to hire himself out to keepers of pigs. So even children that does that will suffer. Not because there was no initial provision, but because of poor management. Even business people that does not possess the keeper spirit, you start a business for them, they can't keep it well, they subject themselves to needless suffering. More often than not, we blame what we call misfortune as the cause of poverty. But if you have to check again, misfortune is not the cause of some people's poverty management. Mismanagement of opportunity. Mismanagement of relationship. Mismanagement of resources. And that is why our study today is focused on management of material resources. Take it off your mind that the management of our environment and the resources therein is government affair. That's another bad attitude in Africa. And church people should not imbibe such attitude. Thinking that management of our environment and resources is solely a government affair. A management of environment and our resources is taking charge of the original responsibility God gave to man from the beginning at creation. In Genesis 1, from verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God, somebody says God. Somebody say God. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Summarily, keep them, manage them, have oversight function over them. So God, by his intentional design, gave the assignment of protection of the environment to man. And so, protection of the environment should be every man's concern, every sensible man's concern, every responsible man's concern, protection of the environment. But for too long a time, discussion on poor management of the environment and its consequences have been left to scientists and politicians. And of course, most local politicians in our own clime, developing countries, have also not so much concern as international bodies are doing. Why? The citizens also are not showing the needed concern. Then the church, we are coming in too late to appreciate environmental concern as a window of socio-spiritual ministry to the larger society. Why do I call it a window of socio-spiritual ministry to our larger society? Only God can tell how many potential believers have been sent to hell through road accident because our roads are bad. So, the candidate that you witness the gospel to and will be saved and die an untimely death because the roads are bad. Only heaven will tell the statistics of great men and women of destiny that have died under conditions that can be blamed on poor management of the environment. The statistics is alarming. So, it is therefore not out of place to make environmental protection a pulpit discourse because of its many spiritual implications. So let me reemphasize that all material resources have their root in God who created them, and only a bastard will watch and waste and wait to see his father's wealth wasted. Are we together? So, God created them and is concerned about how they are managed. So, as church people, we should relearn that fact that management of creation was man's first God-given assignment. From what I just read to us in Genesis 1 from verse 26 to 28, management of creation is man's first God-given assignment. Religion was man's invention after the fall. Much has been said about that in a previous teaching. So please, let us get it right. A responsible man, this is the climax of today's message. A responsible man is more profitable to God and humanity than the man who is merely religious but not useful to mankind. Want me to say that again? A responsible man is more profitable to God and humanity than the man who is merely religious but not useful to mankind. up to today and tomorrow, the good Samaritan in one of the parables told by Jesus will come to be highly rated. He was rated in that parable by Jesus above the religious priest. He was rated above the pious Levite. Why? He demonstrated humanity that was obviously lacking in the custodian of the tenets of religion. These other two, the priest and the Levite, they were the custodian of the religious tenets. But when it was time for them to put religion to use to help mankind, they failed woefully. They failed thoroughly. Luke chapter 10. I read from verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. For what reason? He was consumed by religion. Religion envelopes his humanity. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Verse 34. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Verse 36. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thief? In other words, which of these do you think is responsible? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. So I conclude by saying, the form of Christianity that is not impacting humanity and the society positively is a caricature. It's a joke. So next week, as Lord help us, I will spell out the scripture that will guide us on how to protect our environment and be a keeper of God-given resources. God bless you in Jesus' name.
We believe you'll be blessed by the ministry of this message. You will do well to be the doer of all you've heard. For further inquiry and spiritual help, contact this number 080-3568-5882 or worship with us at Oasis of Wisdom Bible Church, adjacent University of Ilorin Teaching Hospital, Okeosi, Ilorin. God bless you.